is now being recorded.
Hello?
Hello, Rainey.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing well, and you?
I'm wonderful. We've been trying to do this all week.
I know. We just finally got to
work. Yeah, busy schedules. I guess that's a good thing, though, for both of them.
Oh, yeah, busy is good. Busy is good.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So, we're, for a lot of reasons, I want to talk to you about this subject today. It's something that we both know about. You know, we've known each other a long time. I think 2010 or 2009. We've been knowing each other, and through the years, we've shared a lot of things and talked about a lot of things and talked about business and food. And I just want to say from the beginning that you're a mother and a wife and a businesswoman. You're creating some beautiful designer pillows and among other things, just a great creator of things. And so I've admired you for a lot of years. But you know, we talk a lot about things, and I'm a member of some of your groups, and this one group in particular, I was glad you added me to it. Because we both know our stories. We know that we both have dealt with some of the same type of issues.
Right.
I'm not going to get into the purpose for the podcast because of the sake of time, our listeners can go to some of the other shows that they would like and check out the reason and the name for Fannie Lou's Children. But in a nutshell, I like to talk to people who work to exact change and find solutions. And I got to thinking about how important this topic is to that, because, you know, if we're going to be good at exacting change and finding solutions, we got to be at a good place in our head, you know. And so we all have dealt with, whether people admit it or not, some type of issues, you know, growing up that if they're not dealt with, if you don't know how to deal with them, if they're not dealt with, will really help profile the person who you are today. We function despite racism, despite oppression, despite being women. And sometimes I know we're doing this in a fog, you know, but we keep pushing despite a lot of things that we've dealt with and just start over the next day. We didn't do a good job today, we'll just start over the next day. But the topic today is about narcissism, and that's a topic that you and I both know about. But this is not about me today. I wanted to talk to you because you have such an intelligent, way of handling that topic. And it's something that, would you believe that when I've been researching this for a lot of years and have been researching this topic through even a lot of religions to see what other religions had to say about this topic. And surprisingly, pretty much every religion out there has a mandate to obey. You know, a lot of this stuff starts in Sunday school. And so right. I remember in Sunday school, you know, honor your mother and father, the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Mm-hmm. Although there's more to it, it stops right there, you see. It stops right there. Although in the Ten Commandments, it does not mention the second part we're going to talk about. And I think because we're hardwired to honor our parents, there's a lot of guilt involved when you're dealing with parental narcissism. There's even a name for it. They even have an acronym for it, NPD, Narcissistic Personality Disorder. But yes. Because your mantra is, we gonna heal today, I love that because
we are.
That means that everything we're doing every day should be kind of like a mirror to us healing, because it's personal to each of us. And people don't really understand, because of the mandate, because of the the verse, honor your parents. Honor your parents. So I want to talk a little bit about explaining to people who think that they can just say, you know, honor your parents, why that's not fair to someone who's gone through parental narcissism. And, you know, you kind of say that and leave it at that. So explain what you have kind of come to in a nutshell, and then we'll break it down just a little bit after that, as to how you've learned how to deal and heal or on your way to healing. What are some of the things you think you're doing in terms of trying to heal from this?
Okay. Well, my issue, which, I mean, I don't have any problem explaining that. My issue comes from childhood. My mother is a narcissist. And what I've come to realize, I tried to figure out what, you know, you go through these relationships and you go through life and you always want to try to pinpoint where, what happened. You know, where did I go wrong? What happened? You know, or whatever. So, over the course of years, you know, failed relationships, just all kinds of stuff. And I really had to sit back and really try to figure out the why. Why was I feeling this way? Why was my self-esteem so low? Why did I count myself out before I even started with anything, including business? Being an entrepreneur and being suffering from narcissistic personality disorder, well, narcissistic abuse, let me say that to be clear. It is hard. It does take a toll on you. But what I've done with lots of prayer, lots of research, I'm a nerd, so I'm always reading, always learning, and always trying to figure me out. I am an obsessive self-checker, so I'm always checking myself and asking, why did I do this or why did I think this or whatever. But through research, through learning about narcissism, that has helped tremendously because you go through life, like you said, you go through life and you're told to honor thy mother and thy father, and you honor them, although you know something isn't right in your spirit. And so once you become aware of what narcissistic abuse is, or even maternal or paternal narcissism, because it can happen both ways, once you have that knowledge, then you begin to become more powerful. Here lately, I have gotten myself back in therapy. I would encourage anyone to seek out help if it's getting to be too much to handle. But healing from narcissistic abuse is no different than healing from domestic abuse. And in a sense, the codependency from always being in a narcissistic, being in a relationship with a narcissist, is kind of like breaking an addiction in a way as well. So it's really deep. It's something that a lot of people don't talk about or even know to talk about because we never know what to call it. We always say, oh, mama is high strung, or daddy just, he wants his way. And sometimes that's the case, and then sometimes it's deeper. And I think with knowledge and learning, then I think that's where we start to really begin to heal.
Okay. So in most of our cases, and I know this happens in the Black church, and I know narcissism, I'm not trying to eliminate anyone from this. I was interested in topics of how the Black church dealt with this topic. And in all my research all these years, do you know that I have not found, maybe they're out there, maybe I was looking in the wrong place, one topic on the, just one article on this topic dealing with the Black church. I'm sure it's out there. I just haven't found it yet. And that was very telling to me because, because of the word honor. You know, we got to look at that word honor and what it really means. And then what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean obey. See, what they don't harp on is the rest of that passage that says, tells parents to not this, you know, provoke their children to anger.
Provoke their children to anger.
Because let me tell you, it is very hard to love a narcissist, but it's very hard to, it's difficult to honor people without exasperation and without anger when you know what's up. See, what I found is that narcissists are normally two people, and there's a private person and there's a public person. And the public mm-hmm. person is really the fraud.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Absolutely.
The private person is the fraud because the goal is to always be right. So they have to distinguish, separate themselves from the ones in that they're doing the damage to. You see, so in essence, I'm right and they're wrong.
Right.
And that's why the public person is the fraudulent person. They never, people don't see that person because the mm-hmm. goal is to win. The goal is to win, which can be, you know, selfish when you really look at it. And so it doesn't mean that you have to obey or to accept put down. It doesn't mean you have to accept gaslighting, projecting, mind games, and or control. But, and because as we heal, it affects our relationships, with our children, with our friends, with our husbands, with our whoever. You see?
Yeah.
And if you don't know what you're even dealing with and you don't know what you need to heal from, you can do a lot of damage to those type of relationships. And sometimes they can see it happening and won't even pull you to the, you know, when police decide it says, you know, don't do that, that's not good for your marriage, that's not good for your friendships. Some narcissists will just sit back with their hands crossed and just really kind of enjoy what you're going through.
Most narcissists actually enjoy seeing you go through pain. See, the thing about a narcissist, and just for some people that may not know, because like I said, I'm a nurse, so I have definitions, I have my laptop up, I have stuff all over the place. So just so people can understand, because, you know, there might be some people out there that have no clue.
Right. Right.
So let me just, I just want to give the definition real, real quick, if you don't mind. The hallmarks of narcissistic personality disorder are grandiosity, a lack of empathy for other people, and that includes their children, and a need for admiration. People with this condition are frequently described as arrogant, self-centered, manipulative, and demanding. So that is narcissistic personality disorder.
Well, don't forget the total disregard for the feelings of other people, a real emotional traits, social isolation, all those things. Actually, it's a mental condition. Let's just say what it is. It's a mental condition. Okay.
Yes.
And it stems
something traumatic happened to them at some point. And they chose not to heal from it. And so they carry this pain, and then they project their pain onto others. This cycle can go on for generation after generation until someone stops it.
Yeah.
Until someone stops it. But the problem with people who suffer with this is, because of the grandiosity, they don't feel anything is wrong. Prime example, the president. That man, I don't even see why people give him so much energy and time. It's so evident to me that he's like a complete narcissist. He doesn't care about anything or anybody but himself. That's the same thing. You can have a parent that same way. You can have a coworker that same way. I mean, there are so many people who are narcissistic, and like you say, they're two people. So they show the public one thing, but behind closed doors, it's a hellish life that no one knows about.
So I have two pointed questions. I mean, we still have time. I just want to ask you these two questions, which is very, it'll be very revealing. Number one, in your opinion, do you think it's possible? Now, people who deal with familial narcissism, they know they love their parents, but they have to know they love themselves too. You have to, sometimes decisions have to be made. But can you honor a narcissistic parent and not compromise your own mental health? First question. And then I think the major question is, do you believe, does God wish this for a person, regardless of who the narcissist is? See, that's where I'm getting into this obey thing now. And this is why the churches don't deal with this issue a lot. And it's sad because a lot of it stems from that, because they push. They don't even explain, break it down when they're talking about. It's like we're living in fantasy land, even in church. Oh, we're just going through the, you know, the motions, you know, honor this and honor that. And it's not dealing with people who are being abused by their parents. It's not dealing with people who are being sexually abused by an uncle. It's not dealing with anything. It's just the icing on the cake. So I'm asking someone, and I ask people who deal with narcissism, and especially healing from it, by way of parental narcissism, when you think about who God is and you realize God is love, you don't even have to ask the question, does God want me to go through this? What do people do? Now, I'm starting to give you a chance to ask that question, but you can kind of add this to it. So I know a lot of people go no contact for their own mental, for their own mental health, so they won't lose their minds. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I'm asking you. Can you honor a narcissistic parent? You know, you won't be able to do it to their satisfaction, but can you do it to your own satisfaction and not compromise your own mental health and the health of your family or your loved one or the people, you know, everyone who loves you and what is trying to understand you?
Well, let's see. And I just have to answer this honestly in regards to my situation. I wouldn't dare tell anyone to accept any type of abuse from anybody, period, okay? But again, it goes to the how that person is. Everybody has a different breaking point. Everybody can take things differently, you know? So the one thing that might drive someone insane, somebody else can let that roll off their back like you know, water to a duck or whatever. So it's like it depends on the person. Me personally, I do not believe in subjecting myself to any type of abuse. Okay. Once I know that I have tried to do everything that I can, which means, you know, try to communicate, you know, I did all I could. Now, I've been no contact for about 2 years now. I absolutely did everything that I could before I walked away. I would tell anybody with anything to always put your best foot forward, but you have to know when to turn and walk away. No, I don't think that you can honor a narcissistic parent and hold on to your sanity. I don't. After I got married, everything got worse. So I think as you get older, and if it becomes worse, because from everything that I've read, a narcissist gets worse as they get older. Things start to be more intense. Okay, so once that happens, you know, you have to really you have to make a decision for yourself. What do you want for your life? You know, and what kind of quality do you want for your life? Because here's the thing, and I'll be completely honest on my part. When you have a narcissistic parent, for so long you are trying to do and be everything that they want you to do and be. As you get older, now you're in this space to where it's like, who am I? What do I do? How do I live? You know, and I think that's the important time when you have to step away and you have to pour into yourself and learn more about yourself and become comfortable in yourself. Once you do that, if you think you're strong enough to have a relationship with them, kudos to you. I can't tell anybody either way what to do or what not to do. But I would make sure that I would get my healing first, and I would make sure that I am as strong as an ox, and I would make sure that I know how to respond to narcissistic behavior and not to react to it. Once I think all those steps are taken, that it, you know, it might work. There's no guarantee.
Yeah, I think one of the ways that people are concerned about how to honor such a parent, or it could be anything, anyone, a sibling or whatever in that situation, but especially when it comes to parents, I think you can honor them by taking good care of your children, by taking good care of yourself, you see. You cannot give people permission to do evil to you. Some people are dealing with outsiders still not understanding the relationship because they're being told one thing and you're saying nothing and they're going by that because it's a lot easier to believe the parent, not really people wanting to deal with the issue because, of course, it goes back to that mandate of honoring. Oh, so that's you doing the wrong thing. You're not honoring a parent by not having contact or not. But nobody's thinking about how you're trying to survive, that you haven't given anyone permission to do evil to you. And a lot of times, narcissists are really sneaky, you know. They start stuff, and then they throw rocks and hide their hand. They start, especially in families, they keep stuff going, and then they sit back, and they're, if you're not careful, you'll watch them kind of smiling at some of the stuff that they cause. You see, they kind of get a kick and a joy.
Of the chaos that
comes out of their behavior. And you can also have your entire family confused and the people ask questions like, well, what happened? And they're victims of narcissism too. It's just that they may be the person that that narcissist is using to, and being narcissistic in another way. You see what I'm saying? In a way such that because they need people on their side as well. But they're still being controlled and manipulated to make, you know, sometimes it's just one person that that person kind of centers on. And it can go on for the duration, for the duration of your life, you know. So I think that taking control of how you deal with narcissists with it, and it being your decision is a lot toward healing of this disorder. And the relationship has to be yours to control. You decide when you want the contact. You know, if for all the people that I've talked to, there's love. They have love for that person or for that parent. They will never, and I know that's the God in them. But they have to also be able to take control of their life by deciding how they deal with a narcissist. And you know, people aren't going to like it. But once you decide and you stick with it, then, you know, that really is too a good way to be on the way, you know, to healing. So, and again, you know, I find a lot about that, you know, Black Church harps on this honor thing so that I didn't find a lot out there on that topic from the Black Church. And it's because we don't deal with that enough because, you know, we like to pretend that everything is just okay.
When I do research, I don't find a lot of information when it comes to the Black community at all, to be completely honest with you. So I'm glad that we're having this conversation today because it's really one that we need to have more of. And just to kind of go back to the Black Church and narcissism. I might ruffle some feathers with this, but that's okay because, you know, we're just being honest and real right now.
And you're healing, so you know how you need to heal. That's it.
Okay. Well, here, I'm trying to make sure I say this the right way. in the black church, how we put pastor on a pedestal and we do certain things. You have to realize and understand, and I'm saying in general, people have to really understand what narcissism is, because like you say, God is love. God is not manipulation. God is not demanding and controlling, and God is love. That's all I've heard through life. There's songs about it, everything else. You know what I mean? So it's just like, if you're in a church and you see this person, you're putting this person on a pedestal as if they're above you, and they begin to act like they're above you, that could be a form of narcissism. So you can't expect the church to own something that the head of the church is doing. I hope this is making sense. But there's narcissism everywhere. There's so many narcissistic politicians, pastors, preachers, all kinds of stuff. And so I think what we have to do first is just understand what it is and understand that it can be anybody. Mm-hmm. It can be absolutely anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we have so much work to do in the church, period. But I think that might be one reason why it's never discussed, is because a lot of the clergymen or clergy women or whomever, they might be narcissistic themselves. Matter of fact.
Absolutely.
I saw a video. Oh, and you see the articles. They don't pay their tithes. So if somebody passes, they can't hold a funeral there because they didn't pay their tithes. Now, what would Jesus do? Because I don't think that would go that way. Not if God is love. Or if you have those situations where someone who was part of the church went to go ask someone something. They didn't like how it was asked or whatever. A fight broke out in church because they felt disrespected, or they felt some kind of, you know, the me complex. If you are to celebrate God, how is it a me complex? It's not about you. So I think that's why we don't discuss it there, because there's so much work that needs to be done there, you know. But it can be anybody, including pastor or deacon or whomever, you know. So I think once we just honestly get real about it, then we'll be able to heal. But a lot of people don't want to admit, and a lot of narcissists don't even know they have anything to admit to, because they really do think in their minds they're perfect.
Well, and there are instances I know people have just kind of taken the time to try to talk, and before the conversation goes beyond five words, the narcissist is standing up, jumping around. Oh, that's not me. That's not me. The conversation is over. That's not me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, they don't, because see, the idea is to win. The idea is to be the one who's right. So if that person has to be right all the time, that means someone else has to be wrong.
Exactly.
And it's true also that the older they get, the worse they get.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not confronted. But it's just amazing to me how they can have an entire family that will be on one side just because these people don't even know how to make a distinction. And if they feel that if they're honest with themselves, they'll realize that they're victims of narcissism as well. They have their own stories, but they're going to harp on yours, you see, because it just sounds better than just admitting that this is something that I need to work on as well. A minister gave me this from an article, thought it was a really good article, and he said, read it. You can explain it better if you read it than I can tell it to you. He said that this article he wrote said that this man was asked, how can you honor his parents if you never see them? And this man said that he honored his parents by taking good care of his wife and his son. even though he was virtually no contact with his mother and father. He said, I'll take it a step farther. We honor our parents by being better than they raised us to be. We honor our parents by not acting out from all the abuse they heaped on us, especially by not exacting revenge upon them. We honor them by reclaiming our mental health. We honor our parents by living lives that do not bring dishonor upon them. Okay? We honor our parents by being much better parents to our children than they were to us. We honor our parents by being the person they should have wanted us to be, by being better than they were able to raise us to be. We honor our parents by being better than they have any right to expect us to be. And it goes on and on.
I love that. Yeah, please connect to me.
It goes further. It doesn't go too much further. We honor our parents by stepping away, by going no contact versus the alternative, lying and gray rocking in order to stay in contact, only to eventually crack, screaming, yelling, cursing, and punishing them for what they did. You see, so this no contact thing seems cruel to outsiders. And this is what gets me with people who are standing on the outside looking in, who don't even know enough about the subject, don't even care enough. I've seen narcissism affect the marriages and relationships of people who were harping on one other person. They're not even paying attention to what's going on with their own husband. You see what I'm saying? They're not even paying attention. And so what happens is these people start to lie also about what a great marriage I had and what great children I had. Because, see, narcissism, like you said, is generational. And when people don't deal with narcissism and they only see it one way and one-sided, they never see themselves in it. So it ends up that a whole family can contribute to
is there normal or the
black sheep of the family, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? Because it has to be a whole bunch of people in the family that's pinpointed. It can be that one person who realized early on that they weren't going to make it mentally, weren't going to be mentally stable if they continue to take that abuse. And when you remove yourself from it, people get upset with you for removing yourself from it.
But I have an article.
Not having them have contact with your children, because what happens is they do the same thing to you, to your children.
Uh-huh.
But they feel like, well, you didn't do anything about the situation. Now I'm going to move on to who loves you.
Yeah. It keeps going until it goes until somebody stops it. I do have this article up, and I do want to share this part of it, because I think it's important, especially when we're talking about the no contact. We didn't really discuss on how this, we talked about how it affects you mentally, but I want to discuss how this affects you physically, because I'll say it again, narcissistic abuse is no different. If not, mental abuse is deep, okay, people? But narcissistic abuse is no better or worse than domestic or anything else. This is some real stuff that we really, really have to begin to really start being real about, okay? The damage caused by narcissistic abuse is not limited to the individual victim. It bleeds into society and impacts us all. Numerous studies caution us about the correlation between physiological and emotional stress and its relationship to increased risk of illness and disease. Okay, listen to this. The chronic stress of narcissistic abuse gradually wears our bodies down over time. The prolonged activation of the body's stress response systems can take a toll and wreak havoc on our overall well-being. Some of the, and Rainey, now when we talk about our community of black beautiful people, listen to this. Some of the common illnesses associated with the chronic stress of narcissistic abuse include, but are not limited to, heart attack, adrenal fatigue, weight gain or loss, hair loss, insomnia, anxiety, depression, thoughts of suicide, PTSD, autoimmune disorders, digestive problems, asthma, migraines, epilepsy, cancer, arthritis, slower wound healing, type 2 diabetes, high cholesterol, irritable bowel syndrome, and increased dependency on alcohol and other substances.
Yep.
People can think it's a game if they want to.
Absolutely. It's
people can think it's a game if they want to.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I would love to have more of these discussions with you because, you know, we have talked about this away from, you know, just us having girl talk. And it's so imperative that we heal. And I do, that's why I created the group Healing the Invisible Wounds of Narcissistic Abuse, because it is invisible. So it's not like you can see somebody with a black eye and know they're hurting and know they're going through something. A lot of us smile and cry alone. So we really, really need to get serious. Because a lot of those
I'm sorry, go ahead. Let me cut you off.
No, I'm saying a lot of those illnesses are prevalent in our community. And a lot of times...
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I got a call coming in. I'm going to have to edit that out. But go ahead. You can go ahead.
I'm okay. Right. No, that's no problem. It's, all of those illnesses are prevalent in our communities, and we just go and get the medication, but we don't try to figure out the why.
I understand that. Yeah. I would suggest that people also read an article, a blog by a lady named Lenora Thompson, where narcissism meets normalcy. You know, that's a great topic for her blog because narcissism is a destroyer of normalcy. So that's a great blog. And then a friend of mine, an attorney here in Houston, it was amazing that I went on Facebook today and boom, the first thing I saw, she has a blog also. It was amazing that she was doing that topic. I called her and I said, look, we laughed about it. I said, Chris and I are doing a podcast about the subject today. It was, and I'm paraphrasing, it basically was about can you honor an abusive parent? See, this is real. People are healing in their own way and in their own steps, and they're realizing where some of their issues are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the more you you can talk about these things without throwing somebody under the bus. You can talk about these things without embarrassing people. But part of that is narcissism because you're hardwired to love your parents and always think about them and everything you do, you can continue to suffer as well. You can continue to suffer. And so, the thing about a parental narcissist is that they don't know when to stop.
Mm-hmm.
It continues. One day my children, I'll say this and then we'll, just for the sake of the size of the file for the upload of the podcast, I'm concerned about, we're definitely going to have to do a part two and part three on this because this is not something I think that can even be contained in one podcast. I'll tell you this story. One day, my children were, you know, they were younger, and I don't know what was going on with me. I was just raising, you know, one of them said, you know, my children have always been able to talk to me because that's one thing we weren't really allowed to do is be real and ask real questions growing up because, you know, we had to honor that, you know, because of because of misperceptions about what honor is. And so my daughter was like, you know, just want to let you know, you're acting like, you know, so-and-so. Chris, that hurt me, so I cried. But I'm glad they did. I'm glad they did. Because I wouldn't have even known it.
Right. And it gives you an opportunity to check
yourself. I was hurt, so hurt.
Yeah.
I cried, but then I started healing after that. So I'm just thankful to them for that. And they didn't even know what I was, they know the name for it. They just told me, you know, you're acting like so-and-so.
Yeah. And there's a beauty in healing.
That hurt because that ain't what I wanted to do. That ain't what I was trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, after the hurt, just all I can do is just encourage everybody to continue to try to learn about it, and we'll continue to talk about it. But after the hurt, there is beauty. You gotta keep with it. You gotta keep growing and evolving and unlearning and learning the good stuff, because you want to be whole and you want to be present for your family. You know, once you become an adult and you're still dealing with these problems, it's time to make a choice. And I had to make my choice. And I'm good with my choice. You know, some days are better than others, but I'm good with my choice, because at the end of the day, I chose me. You know? Yeah.
Well, I hate it. We got to end it right here because it's 40 minutes in, and I don't want the file too big to upload in one part. So how about we do this? How about we end this podcast now, and but not before us telling you how we can reach you on those, in those beautiful pillows. And I'll put those in the, I'll put that information in the show notes website. I'll put that information in the show notes. But how about we do this again and have a part two next Thursday at the same time, 1 o'clock.
Okay. That sounds good to me. Quick, I am Christina Alexander Giles. I am the owner of Nerd Girl Chic, Custom Pillows, and More. And also, I spearhead the group Healing the Invisible Wounds of Narcissistic Abuse on Facebook. So feel free to join us as we continue the discussion. Also, Rainey, I'm going to send you the information that I have from the article that I read, so that way people can kind of read it and just continue to learn until next Thursday when we're at it again.
And I thank you so much. And guess what? We're going to heal today. I will say goodbye this time, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday. I'll get this episode to you before 5 o'clock. You can upload it to the group if you think it'll be helpful. And thank you so much. I love you, and thank you for being one of Fannie Lou's children.
Thank you for being one of
Fannie Lou's children.
I appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.